All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseballs, the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox!
I have to possess this comic!
Baseball's the breakfast cereal!
I have Amigo Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis?
Baseball's the coloring book!
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
Should come to this. We try to warn you all, but oh dear. You may not share our intellect, which might explain your disrespect for all the natural wonders that grow around you. Sloth, sloth, and thanks for all the days.
This is Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 42.
It is indeed.
And we have decided to let Fantastic name this episode.
Ooh, really?
And somehow he is going to name the episode and have it
tie in.
Thank you. Tie in and encompass everything that we are doing in the episode today. All right, let's have it, Fantastic.
Tonight's episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff is called Episode 42, Life, the Universe, and Everything.
Wow, it's very profound.
And can you tell us how that's going to tie in with everything that we're doing on the show this evening?
No, I can't, because we haven't done the rest of the show yet, but hopefully we're going to talk about life, the universe, and everything.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, let's start with life.
Fantastic. What's going on in life, Matt?
What's going on in life? My life or the life of this show? Because the life of this show is starting to flatline, I think.
Wow, that's positive.
How's that show House going?
I love that show.
That's a
flatline.
That is back next week.
Banging show. I do love that show. It's true. I'm more excited about the Return of Heroes, though.
Is that next week, too?
That is next week. It's Monday, the 22nd.
Ooh,
I know.
Sweet.
Very exciting.
Yeah, I heard yesterday that their producers of Lost are saying they're done. They're going to have the rest of the episodes and then identify a clear ending spot and finish it because they don't want it to get like the X-Files did.
Now, what I heard was that they are setting out a clear path, but it's not the last season. I actually heard that the plan is for next year to start season 4 in January and run it consecutive in a fashion similar to how they do 24. So there will be no breaks, there'll be no mid-season breaks, no 3 weeks without a new episode. And they're saying that that should help the continuity of the show flow a little bit better. Very possible, though, that next season could end up being the end. I don't think they're going to wrap it this season, though.
I don't think so either, just having seen the show. Because if you go back to last season, it's kind of like I have absolutely no confidence that the show is going to end and end in a satisfactory way where they are now with how, you know, six shows or whatever they say they have left.
Yeah, I think that's probably impossible. But it is good to hear that they are going to lay something out, that they are going to actually put something down on paper and kind of regain a little bit of focus, which is something that show needs.
Focus.
So that's good. That's a good way for a show to start. But, you know, they're doing that now with some new shows that are coming out. Preacher, actually, is one. I've read this past week that the first draft of the first episode, the pilot episode, which will air on HBO, is written. It's written and it's ready to go. And according to the director, Mr. Mark Steven Johnson, it's going to be very true to the original source material. which is not something that's new to us as far as Preacher is concerned. I mean, they've been saying this all along. They've been saying that one single episode is going to mimic a single issue of the book, and so the story arcs should be pretty preserved. So that's good.
Well, it sounds like Preacher is certainly coming along, and I can't wait to see how this develops. You know, we have casting to go through and a lot of that stuff to still come our way. I'm hoping that they don't foul up Preacher. It's a pretty good story, pretty good title. I have high hopes. What else do you have, Matt?
Well, I might as well move over to Fantastic Four. A little bit of an update there on the Galactus front. You know, this has probably been one of the biggest questions since we heard that the movie was going to involve Silver Surfer and Galactus. How would we see him? What role would he play? Would it be major? Would it be minor? Et cetera, et cetera. And according to 20th Century Fox, Galactus is going to be not fully explored as a character, but more of as a force in the universe, a force to be reckoned with, if you will. So, again, what that means to me, or what I think about that, is that you're probably not going to see him on the screen a whole lot.
Which is feasible.
Yes.
Disappointing, but feasible. They could do the coming of Galactus without Galactus.
Well, I don't think it's going to be completely Galactus-free. I think we're going to see Galactus.
See something.
But,
visual.
Right, but I think it's going to be really more of kind of... I don't want to say an aftermath, but it's really going to be more about how to handle him and what he does and how the Silver Surfer is affected by Galactus and Silver Surfer's role in Galactus's life, so to speak.
Right.
And it's going to diminish him as a character. And so we'll see.
It's just hard to believe, considering what the character looks like, if they were to bring him over the way that he currently looks in the comics. It's unbelievable. You kind of... There's absolutely no chance that they would keep him the way he is.
Well, you know what? The correlation that I keep drawing would be to the Sentinel that was supposed to be in X3 or that was briefly in X3. I mean, even right down to color scheme, you're talking about a very similar color scheme. You're talking about purples and pinks and blues, you know, and they definitely muted those colors and they showed a hand and a giant head, which I have said in the past, that's what I think we're going to see of Galactus. I think it's going to be like... the helmet and the eyes, maybe like a hand.
Yeah, and I mean, it almost seems like that would be enough of Galactus to see in order to get the point. But I can't imagine in a movie that's based on the kind of action that we got in the first one and that just from the trailer in the second one that they're expecting to produce for us. So I can't imagine that that's all of Galactus they're going to show. So, if Galactus is indeed going to be an integral part of the story, I think we have to have more Galactus.
Yeah, but
what are they going to fight? His nose
But
hairs?
They're directly saying that he's not going to be explored as a character, that he's going to be explored as a force. So, doesn't that, to you, mean they're going to diminish his actual screen time?
But what does that mean? Does that mean we're not going to see him?
I don't think, no. See, I don't know. But I don't think it's not going to see him at all. I just think it's going to be... very limited and in a diminished capacity.
And I think you're taking it very literally where you might want to not take it so literally. So what they may be saying by saying we're not going to explore Galactus as a character is they're not going to explore the history of Galactus or why Galactus eats planets or where Galactus comes from.
Okay.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that we're not going to see a fully rendered and active Galactus in the film.
Okay. I don't know.
I can't believe that they would reduce it in such a way as to have him. I mean, if they're going to explore him being a force, yeah, this huge monstrosity guy that eats planets just shows up. That's quite a show of force.
Oh, sure.
But I can't imagine they're not going to do. He's the Herald Surfer is the Herald of Galactus, and it's obviously about the Surfer.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be more Galactus in it than just a sheer kind of, even that whole, you know, I kind of pictured as, you know, kind of Earth. And in the background, you kind of see his eyes and his nose. Like if the microphone was Earth,
yeah.
Like this, and he's like
looking over it
like this, I'm gonna grab it, you know, like that. I just can't imagine that that's what they're going to do.
Now that we've hit life and the universe, let's get to everything.
You really are trying to work this, aren't you?
Sure.
See, it works. I thought about it at least. It kind of presented itself, to be honest, but
right. So you thought about it. in the sense that it presented itself and you had to use no thought whatsoever.
Well, no, I had to put it together and say yes or no, and I chose yes. And
okay. Well, there you go. We're,
what else you got, Matt?
Wow. We're getting into...
He's basically at that level of computer just before punch cards.
Jesus.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic.
Yes or no?
We are... Jesus. We are at that point...
One or zero. One or zero.
Now we're going to binary. Very good. One plus zero is one, isn't it? I don't know. I forget binary. I took a class in binary once.
What else you got on that?
On binary, absolutely nothing.
You had a whole class
but
just on
I took an entire binary. I took an entire zero. Class on basic programming in binary, yeah, in high school.
I see.
It was offered. I took it. It was like an elective. I thought it might be interesting. We're getting to that point right now in the comic book movie news where some of these films that we've been talking about for the past 6 or 7 months are going to start kind of fading out because they're actually coming to the forefront and these newer films are coming up.
Okay.
And stuff is going to be leaked. So Iron Man is definitely going to be leading that, I think, at least for a bit. We're going to be hearing a lot about that. So this past week, a new conceptual sketch of the Iron Man armor was leaked online. And it's great. I think it looks really good. I think it's pretty true to some of the comic book armor that we've seen.
Oh, boy.
It is not Ultimate Iron Man, which I'm very happy about because okay. I was afraid they were going to go that route.
Now, I haven't seen it yet. Okay. So I'm going on your expertise. And by expertise, I mean you've seen the picture and I have not.
Right.
Is it orange and yellow?
Yeah, the color scheme is right on.
Really?
You, know, you say you haven't seen it yet, but you have because it looks just like the Civil War one.
Yeah, it is. It's very similar to
very close
to the Civil War concept.
Okay. But what I meant, Mr. Fantastic, is that I have not seen the picture.
Yeah, no shit. I know that.
But getting away from the costume, we've also had just a little bit, another nugget of casting information. It seems that Gwyneth Paltrow is going to play alongside of Robert Downey Jr. as Virginia Pepper Potts.
I have never heard her referred to as Virginia ever.
Well, that's her first name. It's Pepper is how she's referred
Pepper
to.
Pepper Potts.
She would be Tony Stark's executive secretary, you know, in the early days of...
Doesn't it seem kind of a weird role for Gwyneth Paltrow to be playing?
Well, you know what? I don't know. You know, it seems like that these comic book movies and these types of movies are becoming so powerful and so prominent. Right. And so important to the current movie industry, I mean, as far as revenues are concerned, that more big name actors and actresses are tying themselves to the films
in some way, shape, or form. Yes, that could be true.
And, you know, maybe she, I mean, I don't know that she knows shit from Shinola about Pepper Potts, but maybe she heard, we have a role for you in Iron Man, and she was like,
hey,
all right.
Hey, I read comic books, and I don't really know all that much about Pepper Potts.
Neither do I, but... But do you know what I mean? I mean, maybe the fact that it is the type of movie that it is, and the choice of director. I mean, it's got a decent director. The casting so far sounds pretty good. You know, it could be feasible that that's her intentions.
Could be.
That's what I would think if I had to guess.
I think we need to prepare for this.
Okay.
I met this 6-year-old child with this blank, pale, emotionless face. You've got to believe me, officer. He is coming to Haddonfield.
That's right. It's time for your weekly dose of Rob Zombie's Halloween remake news.
Ooh.
So much stuff is starting to leak out about... the remake, and I'm happy as hell that it seems to me that Halloween fans hate everything about this movie.
Yeah, I mean, like, not even a little bit. Like, no one is excited about this. I think Rob Zombie is excited about it.
Downright loathe, I think, is some of the things that I'm reading and seeing. And apparently, from what I understand, they are taking such a slasher route to it and removing sort of the psychological terror that has accompanied the character of Michael Myers through 6 films minus that awful number 3 season of the Witch. or seven films, whatever it is. And they're really trying to get him more into the Leatherface Jason sort of mindless killing machine category. And I could be more excited about it. And simply because there's nothing, there's no thought involved in this. It's a slasher, gory horror movie with apparently, from my understanding, every chick in the flick naked except Laurie Strode.
What I don't get is that, you know, Rob Zombie went into this project, or it was a, it was my understanding that Rob Zombie went into this project as a fan of Halloween. Okay. And he wanted to redo the film and he wanted to take a crack at the franchise. Okay. So as
I think he's cracking the franchise.
But this is what I'm saying. If what he wanted to make was a gory slasher, everybody gets naked before the end of the film type of movie, he has a little bit of Hollywood clout at this point. He definitely has a film fan base. Even for those of you who didn't like House of a Thousand Corpses, it would be hard to find someone who didn't appreciate The Devil's Rejects. I mean, personally, I think it was a better film than Thousand Corpses, but
I didn't like either one.
Okay, well, you know,
but that's just me.
But I mean, a lot of people were big fans of Devil's Rejects. It really, I think, made strides from House of a Thousand Corpses. But why would he do this? Why not just create a new character, create a new film? He has the clout. He probably has the financial backing. He's a name. Why take a character that is beloved, that has a dedicated fan base, that has a history, and butcher it? And slasher it?
I don't know. I mean, everything I'm reading about how Loomis is much less of a character being portrayed by Malcolm McDowell in this film, formerly portrayed by the genius of Donald Pleasance in the previous films, that they're kind of pushing him towards the back, and he's not such as an important character as the Loomis character. The Loomis character was fantastic in those films. Donald Pleasance was amazing in those films. And it's just, it's incredible everything that you hear. Fantastic, can you do me a favor? Can you please look up the following names for me and tell me what you see? Because my understanding is that a few new names are attached to the film. Can you look up Hannah R. Hall? This is a character who I'm pretty sure is playing Judith Myers, who I think is the older sister. Is the sister that Michael kills when he's 9 years old,
okay,
in the very beginning of the first Halloween movie. Fantastic. What do you got?
Transfer complete.
Hannah is the actress who plays Judith Myers, is what you meant, right?
Right.
Right. That's true.
Okay,
the thumbs up.
Okay, can you tell us what other films we may have seen Hannah R. Hall in the past? Brace yourself, Matt.
I'm holding on.
Forrest Gump.
And who was she in Forrest Gump?
She was Jenna.
Which Jenna was she?
No. She's the young Jenny.
Yes.
Oh, God.
She was the young Jenny, Run, Forrest, Run on the bus.
Oh, my God.
Is now playing Michael Myers' older and significantly naked sister in this film.
Well, there you go.
Well, that's a little offsetting, off-putting, isn't it?
On IMDb, the pictures of her that they have here in the examples in the photo gallery, there's only three, but the one in the center and the two to the left look like they are her in a sexual scene. Not naked, wearing kind of like a nightgown, but she's...
Really?
Yeah.
She's all grown up.
She's getting it on.
Jenny.
Aw.
Fantastic. Can you please look up the name Danielle Harris? She's playing one of Laurie Strode's girlfriends in the film. You know, if you remember the original Halloween, there were several girlfriends, and I guess they were all hooking up or whatever, having a little party. And Laurie Strode, who is Michael Myers' baby sister, couldn't be there because she had to babysit. And so they're all having the party at the house down the street or whatever. And, of course, Michael kills all of them.
Right.
Fantastic. What have you found out about Danielle Harris?
Transfer complete.
Well, according to IMDb, she was born in 1977, but it looks like in 87 she was in Spencer for Hire.
Uh-huh.
and then Halloween 4, The Return of Michael Myers.
Uh-huh.
Huh.
Do you know who she played in that movie?
I do.
Yes. Could
but
you
I'm
tell
looking at it.
Could you tell us?
It's Jamie Lloyd.
She played Jamie Lloyd. Danielle Harris was the little girl in Halloween 4 and 5.
Right.
Who is supposed to be, according, if I remember correctly, Laurie Strode's daughter. So you have the girl, if I'm not mistaken, I'm sure if we are, if I am mistaken, I'm going to get hammered on it.
Oh, we got a big Danielle Harris fan that listens too.
Oh, do we?
Oh, yeah.
Danielle Harris played Laurie Strode's daughter in the original, I guess, continuity when she was a little girl in episodes 4 and 5, right? Fantastic. And who was being hunted down by Michael in those movies is now all grown up, presumably, and will be playing, again, a mostly naked Annie, one of Laurie Strode's girlfriends in the remake of Halloween.
Unbelievable.
Rob Zombie's twisted.
Yes, he is. No one would argue that point.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, well,
I can't wait to hear, I'm telling you this, I'm very excited about hearing what next week's Halloween news has in store for us, because this is getting interesting now.
I hope there is no Halloween news next week.
I hope there's no Transformers news next week, but we all know there's going to be. So.
There is none this week.
Wait, hold on.
Transformers
movie!
Matt's losing his mind.
What was that, Matt?
I said there is none this week. There is no Transformers news. Ha!
And that's the news this week, is that there's no news. Okay, very good. Let's move on.
But there is Spider-Man 3 news.
Oh, there is.
Yes.
Well, we don't have an opener for that.
No, we don't. There is Spider-Man 3 news in the form of a toy that Sideshow is distributing. That is it, Mediacom? What's the company that does the Marvel pieces that Sideshow distributes?
They do their own.
No, there's that other company. It's not Mediacom.
I don't know.
It's one of those Japanese companies. Okay. I'm drawing a blank. But anyway, they're doing a Spider-Man in the black suit, and Venom piece. The Venom piece is interesting, at least as far as costuming is concerned.
Okay.
Because he has web lines on him.
He has web lines on him.
All of the movie.
He has web lines on him, very different than the original Venom.
Right.
But apparently the costume a la the movie.
Right.
Now, keep in mind, the only video we've seen of Venom from the movie so far is that one scene where he's crawling on the ground. You see his head pop open. The jaw kind of does that crazy Venom jaw with the pointy teeth. So you never actually see a full body shot of him.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently on this toy, he's got web lines like Spider-Man's costume. Only so it's black.
So it's basically the black costume that we've seen for months and months and months is actually going to transform whomever is wearing it, Topher Grace, into Venom.
Right. Right.
Okay.
But it doesn't... I don't know, unless this is just for the toy, but the web lines are different. They don't go down the entire body. They don't go down the legs, from what I remember. I think it's just portions. It's kind of weird. You'll have to see it. There is
They're
a picture
probably
up right
looking
now.
At it yeah. right now.
And you can go to the Sideshow site also and see it there. So that's a bit of interesting costume choice for that.
Hmm. Interesting.
I'm done with movie stuff. But I have a little bit of video game stuff. I know
you?
This isn't normally my bag.
You have video games?
A little bit. Kind of, sort of.
Did you scoop Fantastic on a piece of video game news?
I guess. I stumbled on it, and it's not really news. Well, I don't know, Fantastic. Would you call it news?
You know, I don't know. And yeah, I was scooped on it. I had no idea about this. And
wow.
Matt sent me a YouTube video of what appears to be a in-development Ghostbusters game.
A third-person shooter, and holy shit.
Wow.
It does look really, really good. Go ahead.
No, go.
It looks so good. There's no way this game is ever going to make it to market. You take a look
it looks
at it.
Too good?
First of all, the concept art is really cool. Now, it is a departure from what's already out there. You can tell that it is modern day because there's a modern day, I believe it's, is it the Dodge Magnum or Chevy S300 or one of those vehicles that they've kind of made
okay,
the
so
Ecto-2 out of.
Right.
Yeah, the Ecto-2 is new. It's a new model.
Oh, okay.
And they kind of have these big Gatling gun, laser type, hulking battery pack weapons with them. Now, they are proton packs or you know, stream guns or whatever the hell they use to catch ghosts and like variations of that. But there's a painting that shows them in just a completely burnt out city. And that's where the game, I guess, gets its inspiration. You're one of the Ghostbusters running around in a third person view using a dual analog type control mechanism to zap ghosts, basically. The graphics look awesome. You see, I believe it looks like the person's playing as Ray in that one.
Yes,
as right? And he's kind of like lacing into the buildings with the proton pack.
Yeah.
And it's just like smashing out windows and bricks are flying all over the place. And I'd say it easily looks as good as any Half-Life 2 derived game, any game that runs on the Half-Life 2 engine. So did you find anything else about it?
Well, when I first saw the videos, I was very positive about it. Kind of looked like, wow, this might actually happen. This might be in development. But then as I started to look a little bit more, it looks like the people that put out those videos and did this don't even have full licensing.
Now, here's where the problem comes into play. The company is called Zootfly.
Yes.
And from what I've learned, they're known for kind of being an outsourced video game company.
Correct.
Larger companies every once in a while will, well, probably on almost every project, will hire, just like any other company, outsource some of the work.
Mm-hmm.
And this Zootfly company, from what I can tell, is a company that, you know, is an outsourced partner. So they'll provide talent to do some things, to provide art assets and, you know, quick little programming. Like if they want somebody to program the little items in the games and things like that, and they want them fast, they'll outsource it to a company. But this looks like Zootfly is kind of touting the ability of their own engine, which the name eludes me right now, if you remember the name of the 3D engine.
I don't.
And the engine looks really good. However, it looks so good, it looks like it's never going to get made. The logo, it's their own little version of the ghost with the red cross hatch prohibition thing signed over it. And, you know, it kind of just says, like, there's so much artistic liberty taken here that there's no way that this is ever gonna make it.
And if it doesn't, it's a real shame because
I believe they made some kind of announcement, right? They said that the game is in development.
Right.
But we're currently having some legal trouble with the license?
Yeah, aka they don't have the license.
Exactly.
I mean, it looks like they're developing it. Oh, and I want to say that it would look like it's a 360.
I believe I read something that says that they develop games for the PC and the 360.
And the 360.
Xbox 360.
But they don't, looks like they don't have the rights to do it. Looks like they're just taking the chance to do it. And I hope it, I mean, I agree. I don't think it's going to happen at this point. I mean, I think it's very, very unlikely. But I want to see it happen because people have been clamoring for Ghostbusters stuff for years. There are fans out there that are really, really dedicated to Ghostbusters.
And it seems to me that this is one of those interim steps, a lot like and almost identical to Tron 2.0. where you have a huge sort of cult underground fan base to Tron, and their answer to we're not going to make a sequel is we're going to make a video game sequel.
Right.
And it seems like this Ghostbusters concept may be going along those same lines. Yeah, well, we know that there's never going to be a Ghostbusters sequel because Bill Murray has said that he will never do one again, or at least that's last I heard.
Right.
And if that's the case, then you've seen all you're going to see of the Ghostbusters on film. Well, maybe the next logical step is for them to do a sequel via a video game.
That's kind of the case, but that was the case with the Evil Dead as well. When they made that, I believe, that Evil Dead Fistful of Boomstick or Regeneration. I know that Bruce Campbell was kind of walking around saying, well, this is the sequel to Evil Dead, which I found kind of weird. But here, it's they don't even have the license. It didn't start with the person who owns the license. It just started with some talented guys who have the studio that gets a lot of work. And I believe, as kind of a media stunt, they're just leaking these things out there on YouTube because they have the ability to. I mean, there's so many people on YouTube, and they're looking for stuff like this.
Sure.
That if you put it out there and it looks really cool, people will pick it up and start talking about it.
Well,
like this.
It could be. That could be it. I mean, it could be as simple as a promotional whammy. YouTube is being used for a lot of that stuff these days.
Sure.
So it would make sense that it goes that way. I guess, you know, in our little geek corner of the world, I guess we're hoping that it's going to be more than that.
One of the funniest parts is, I don't know if you picked this up, if you turn the volume up, but not way up because there's kind of the distortion in the crappy YouTube audio, you can hear him lacing into some of the buildings and bashing bricks all over the place, and you hear beep, beep, do not cross the proton streams. And yeah. the gun is talking to him.
Yeah, it was. It really looks pretty interesting. It really looks neat. And again, I'd really like to see it be made in whatever capacity it is, because I know I want more Ghostbusters
stuff.
Yeah,
do what you have to do. Write your congressman or Zootfly or whoever owns the Ghostbusters license and request.
I would definitely say, at the very least, show your interest to Zootfly. Because, you know, maybe with enough interest from us, you know, they'll more actively pursue the licensing to actually get it to happen. So.
I wonder if Dan Aykroyd owns the license. I'm thinking that he probably does.
You know, I thought so too. It's possible.
But it's a guess.
I think so.
It's probably possible.
Whoever put out the movie and Dan Aykroyd, I would guess.
Well, I believe it was Universal that put the film out. So
was it Universal?
I think so.
Well, whomever it was. And hopefully Dan Aykroyd will get wind of it and see how cool it is, and maybe he'll just give it a little green light so something like this might make its way out there. And
right.
I hope they use Tron 2.0 as an example. I mean, it was by no means an industry-changing game or anything, except in the sense that it was a way to continue the story and continue using the characters and continue the franchise rather than let it die. I think
right.
in that way... it would be useful here.
And in terms of what people who make these games care about, it was a commercial success. People did play it. There is a community of people still playing online. You know, it's not a, like you said, it's not a revolutionary thing, but it's a strong product. It has a strong IP to start with. And if they make a good game out of it, which it looks like they could possibly do here.
Sure.
It may have a chance. Although they definitely got to change the whole car physics. Did you take a look at the car kind of fishtailing through the street? You see it and you're like, oh my God, this is bad. That's got to change. It looks like it'd be impossible to control.
Well, you know what though? I was looking at the car thing and I was actually wondering about that. I was wondering if maybe that was a cinematic scene, perhaps, you know, maybe like an in-play cinematic as opposed to an actual, you're in control of the car and it's supposed to be doing the crazy fishtaily thing.
Yeah. Who knows? Because it's all, you know, as far as you know, it's all made up.
It's video, right.
But it looks like it is real-time footage. It looks like it's a real-time cutscene.
Right.
But the whole thing could be pre-rendered, and it could all be fake.
Right, exactly.
Just animation.
We would never know.
Yeah, really,
that's all it would be.
Right. Last week, we talked about Diamond Select getting a license to do 24 figures, 12-inch figures and mini-mates. And not 2 days after that, comes down the pipeline that McFarlane also got a figure license. McFarlane is going to be doing 24 figures, similar to their Lost figures, as far as the scale of the figure is concerned, as far as the articulation, you know, not really so much, is concerned, and as far as like the display-based diorama kind of thing is concerned. The first figure that they showed is Jack Bauer. He's kind of in an action pose, you know, gun drawn, kind of in a half crouch position, you know, mm-hmm. pointing out, and he's got like this busted up fence with like boxes and shit behind him. It's, you know, it's Jack trying to fuck some shit up. I am very excited about this. Personally, I have more faith in them to put out a product that I am more likely to buy than I do from Diamond. Personally. Again, though, I like the fact that they're doing a traditional scale figure as opposed to just a 12-inch or those what I like to call waste of plastics mini-mates. So that's pretty big. You could see a picture of the Jack Bauer figure online. It's all over the place. I think we probably have it up on the site, or you're looking at it right now if you're watching this in QuickTimer on your iPod. So that was pretty exciting.
Did you know, Matt, that DC Direct is making action figures for World of Warcraft?
Yes. I thought we knew this.
Did we know this?
Well, no. We knew that Sideshow had gotten a license.
Sideshow had gotten a license.
It was a 12-inch license to do World of Warcraft figures based on the new expansion, which hit last night at midnight, didn't it?
Oh, right, right.
Or was it two nights ago?
Two nights. It had to be because it was in the store. It was in the store Tuesday when I was in the store.
So they're going to be doing, like, what, 10-inch figures?
Kind of? No, it looks like 6 to 8 inch action figures to me.
And why is DC Direct doing these? Why is not Blizzard Entertainment doing them?
Don't know.
That seems very, 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 very odd. Very odd. Well, anyway, there's a new company out there, Concept 2 Creation, that's doing some new statues based on Danger Mouse. There's like three or four of them that I've seen pictures of.
Wait, who's doing this?
It's a new company, Concept 2 Creation.
And they're doing Danger Mouse statues?
Yes.
Wow.
I think they look great. The pictures I've seen online are very promising. But in my personal opinion, as someone who's been seeing this type of product teased before, I'm guessing that either they never actually come out, or they come out and are gone before you ever find them, or most of the people find them. They strike me as, Kev, similar to those pieces we saw at Toy Fair last year. Those G.I. Joe Transformer crossover pieces.
Oh, yeah.
Which I can't think of the name of the company right now.
First Four.
First Four Figures or something like that. That's the feeling that I get looking at them. Like, I don't expect anything to happen with them. But I hope they do. I know the sales of the DVDs have been very good, so there's definitely a market for Danger Mouse out there.
Hells yeah.
Danger Mouse has been a great underground product for a very long time as far as like bootlegs and stuff are concerned.
There's a market for Danger Mouse right in this room.
Well, exactly. So we'll see. But, you know, there's a bunch of them coming. Price point on them looks like British pounds would be between $15 and $35, so that's what, like, between 30 and 70 US, like, so somewhere in that price range. But at the very least, the Danger Mouse one, the Danger Mouse one with the Danger Mouse logo in the background looks really, really cool. So look forward to those.
Well, we'll have to see if those guys are attending Toy Fair.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll find them. Probably in Javits Center would be my guess. Somewhere.
So we're going to find a lot of people in Javits Center this year.
We always do.
But I have another little bit of DC Direct stuff here. I'm actually going to direct the listeners, Matt. I know you may be a little shocked by this. I'm going to direct the listeners to check out Toy Fair Magazine.
Oh, wow.
Issue 1.
You feeling okay?
I am. It's okay. It's all good. Toy Fair Magazine, issue 115, which is the March 2007 issue, you will find prototypes of Andy Kubert's Batman line coming from DC Direct.
Okay.
Obviously based on the art of Andy Kubert, the current artist on Batman, working with Grant Morrison on the storyline that introduces us to Bruce Wayne's son,
ugh,
Damian.
Ew.
And as you can imagine, with a name like Damian and a father like Batman and a mother like
the spawn of Ra's al Ghul,
Talia. This kid, Damian, has been, apparently he goes around and decapitates D-list villains.
Ooh.
He's kicked Robin's ass all over the place, and he's generally kind of a bad seed.
Okay.
They're going to be making action figures, as I said. The prototypes that are pictured in the issue of Toy Fair, they have a prototype of Batman that is amazing. It's a great-looking Batman, an amazing-looking Joker.
I have to see now.
And other figures in the line include Damian, Robin, and some sort of Man-Bat. Toy Fair says it's a ninja Man-Bat, but that kind of flies in the face of being Man-Bat to me. But I don't know exactly what that is. That may be in an issue of Batman that I have not read yet.
Right.
So I don't want to go there. And the other reason to check out, at least one of the other reasons, maybe one of the only other reasons to check out this month's Toy Fair is for an article. It's not even for an incoming piece.
Uh-oh.
Well, two. I should stop to say that we're getting our first look at the Harry Potter figures.
From NECA, right?
From NECA.
Wow, I'm excited about those.
They show Voldemort, a Dementor, two Death Eaters, and Harry Potter. It looks to me like it's Harry Potter. It looks like all of them are from Harry Potter and the
Goblet of Fire.
Right.
Well, it would seem that most of these companies that are picking up these Harry Potter licenses are from like Goblet of Fire on or Prisoner of Azkaban on.
Right.
I guess because Mattel probably had the license for the first couple of years.
Right. They are saying, they're also showing Hermione and Ron, and they are from Order of the Phoenix.
Okay, so the new film.
Right, but they're prototypes, they're sculpts, right. so first plastics.
Right.
And unpainted. They're also showing They're also showing Hagrid with Norbert and Fang.
Okay.
But they're based on the third Harry Potter film, Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban.
Right.
So it seems to me that they're kind of, maybe they're bouncing around, because isn't that where the Dementor is from, the third film also, right?
Yes.
So there, it looks to me like they are bouncing around a little bit, seeing what they like and seeing...
what the fans like?
What the fans are looking for, yeah. It's very exciting. So you can check out that entire article. It actually boasts an interview with Randy Falk, who is the product developer over at NECA, who is a fantastic individual, and I like him a lot. You also see a picture of, you also see that.
What is that? I can't see it from here. Looks like a sorting hat.
No.
Is that Draco?
Oh, that's all I'm showing you.
Oh, thanks.
That's your tease. Yeah. When you pick up your issue of Toy Fair, Matt, you can find out what that was that I refused to show you.
You mean your issue off the couch.
Later. The other article I have to say, and this is a great article. You're an ass. The other article I have to say, Jed Resnick wrote this article, and I've read it, and I have to say that this is, if nothing else, this should spur every Marvel character, Marvel legend, Marvel action figure fan into action, if you'll pardon the pun, to get on Hasbro or Diamond Select,
okay,
whomever you prefer, to get some of these lost figures made.
Okay.
Now, for those of you that don't know, we've talked about this before. There was at one point going to be a Marvel Legends line where each character in the line included a generic henchman character from one of the great generic henchman hordes.
Right.
Hellfire Club soldiers being one. The Hand Ninjas, the AIM agents, Hydra soldiers, and even so far as to go from the Doombots.
Wow.
Which were awful as a choice. As well as a Skrull and a Brood, who are actually now being released by Diamond Select as a two-pack.
Okay.
In scale with Marvel Legends, you know, for collectors who want to have those pieces. And what the article says is that there's a whole bunch of these that never got done. And now that Diamond Select has kind of cracked it by putting out two, if this article doesn't inspire you to get on the phone or the internet with Hasbro and Diamond Select to secure more of these to be made, even if they're made by Diamond Select, even if they are two packs,
right?
You get an AIM agent and a Hellfire Club guy, you get whatever you're going to get from these. They show you pictures of the Hellfire Club agents, the AIM agents, Hydra soldiers, Hand Ninjas, and Doombots. And those are kind of the generic ones.
Right.
Now, some more specific ones. During, in addition to in Wave 14 of Marvel Legends, which was the Mojo Wave.
Ooh.
In addition to...
I know what you're going to say here.
Right. In addition to Mojo, we were supposed to get the X-Babies.
Yes.
Creepy Crawler, Suga, Shadow Kitty, Colossus, Wolvie, and Shower.
Right.
Who are all basically kind of these super little cutesy versions of the X-Men as they appeared in the Mojo TV world.
Right.
And we were supposed to get one little PVC in scale of them with each of those characters that came out in the Mojo Wave.
Right.
And that was canceled. And they're blaming all of this on the price of oil at the time, which, as we know, was really high. And it takes oil to create the plastics that create Marvel Legends and every other toy.
Right.
So toys become more expensive to make. You got to cut back a little bit in order to be able to make. And these are tough decisions. And I actually feel bad for Jesse Falcon.
Wow. Is that because he hung up on you?
No. No, I don't feel bad. I understand why he hung up on me this week when I called him.
Okay.
I understand.
Okay.
Had he not hung up on me, I certainly would have given him the opportunity to come on this program, which I'm sure he wouldn't have taken after what he said to me. The point is that I feel bad because these are obviously really fan niche-y things.
Right.
That fans really, really would have responded well to. And Jesse had to make the unfortunate decision to cut these pieces.
Sure.
So when you're sitting there thinking that I hate Jesse Falcon, and that's not it. He had to control costs. He had to do what he had to do, and it's a shame. However, it's a new day, and there's, what, six of these characters? Couldn't six of them be put into one Marvel Legend pack and everybody on the planet would buy it?
Sure.
Seriously.
That'd be a good way to package it, actually.
These thug agents, you could put... All right, granted, maybe not the thug agents. Maybe not the thug agents in a regular Marvel Legends line. Maybe not even them as an additional figure. But if Marvel or Diamond Select is going to put out two of them in a pack at a time, can't they go on and do the rest of these things that have been created?
They could even put him in one of those like six-figure packs, like the Marvel Sinister or the Sinister Six pack, or that Fantastic Four pack that they put out.
I guess. I think it's probably not mainstream enough for it to go mainstream.
Right.
But since Diamond Select deals more with the collector's market,
sure,
that's where your success would lie, I would think.
Sure.
I think you'd be very successful by putting out the thugs that way. I still think the X-Babies could come as their own pack.
Yeah, and they probably would sell very well, actually.
But guess what else? There's more, and I'm getting to some of the most shocking things.
Okay.
There's one in here that I never have seen. Now, I've seen all of these. Mm-hmm. In San Diego, remember I told you?
Yeah,
San Diego.
At the vault party.
No, not at the vault party. Actually, on the floor in San Diego.
Oh, okay.
Jesse put these on display, and he said, this is stuff that we never got to make, so if you really want to see any of this stuff, you guys better go over to Hasbro and tell them that you want to see this made, and which, of course, we were like, oh, my God, why did we never see? I mean, we heard about
this
stuff, but we never got to see it. They also did the Mighty Vengers, which was, again, Mojo's little version of the Avengers. Thunder, Sun, Captain America, Hawkey, and Iron Ace.
Okay.
We're also part of, I think we're supposed to be part of that wave also. Again, I think now you add, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, adding X-Men, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10. Two packs of 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, one in the middle, 5. That's 5 and 5 is 2 packs. You put one in per Marvel Legends assortment, and they'll sell.
Sure.
Of course they'll sell as part of the line. We could do these now.
Yeah, I think so.
Couple more. They did a Wasp in the yellow and black costume, much the same way they did Yellow Jacket that came with Wonder Man.
Right.
In that series, I think it was Wave 11, which was the Legendary Riders series. They did Wonder Man, and they had the little Yellow Jacket guy that hooked on.
Right.
They did a Wasp. Never saw the light of day.
Hmm.
We could do that now with another Avenger. They just put out like 7 Wasp figures. Obviously, there's a call for the... Was it 3 or 4 in that Wave? Three,
I
think. Yeah. I'm going in order of most excited about the fact that they're out there somewhere and hoping they get released still. Which brings us to the Age of Apocalypse Wild Child.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Now, anybody that read Age of Apocalypse knows that Sabretooth was never alone in that book. He always had Wild Child on a chain.
Yeah.
And when the Age of Apocalypse Sabretooth came out in the much despised Walmart line, he was without
Wild Child
and a chain. He did have, the big left foot of Giant Man in it, but he did not have Wild Child, who was an accessory, I think, that really, really should have happened. And so he's floating out there as a PVC somewhere with a big chain that you can apparently hook right onto Sabretooth's arm. And finally, I know maybe I'm taking a long time with this, but I have never seen this. I never heard about this. I'm going to actually go back to my pictures from San Diego last year, and I'm going to see if I actually missed this. I can't imagine that I did, But did you know was supposed to be included with the Thor version, the Thor figure from the Walmart Legends line?
Oh, no, I know where you're going with this.
The Frog of Thunder.
Really?
Wow. Really? In Thor 337 through 382, he was turned into a frog,
yeah,
by curse. He took place in the Frog Rat Wars of Central Park. He was the Frog of Thunder. It's one of my favorite completely offbeat storylines of all time.
Don't you have a Frog of Thunder sketch from Simonson
in
your do. Book?
I do. Walt Simonson did a Frog of Thunder sketch in my book. And there he is, the Frog of Thunder.
That's crazy.
Was supposed to be one of these figures that they included, and it just didn't happen.
That's kind of a shame, that one,
and
actually.
Considering how many Thors and characters from Thor they
sure.
do.
Could have put it with Beta Ray Bill.
I easily could have put it with Beta Ray Bill.
Just because.
Could have put it with Loki, who was the wave before that.
Oh, yeah, right.
Could have put it with, I'm sure there's another Thor coming.
Yeah.
I think, if I'm not.
Isn't it wave two or three of the Hasbro
Legends? If I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure it's, if I were a betting man, I would say it's, yes, it's wave two.
Right.
The big, giant, bearded, armored,
Thor,
massive, ugly Thor is coming
right.
with Marvel Legends Hasbro Wave 2, or as we're calling it, the Blob Wave.
No,
Build
the
Blob.
Say the Blob Wave.
Well, kind of could be called that, really. The Build a Blob Wave.
Ew.
Is will feature a Thor who could easily have the Frog of Thunder.
Right.
As an accessory. So, again, lots of reasons to check out Toy Fair this month, issue 115. Now, before everyone goes shocky and think that I've been affected by the people at Toy Fair, where I'm not saying you shouldn't read Toy Fair anymore, there's still a lot of fluff in here.
Okay, well, we don't need to get to all of it, but they know.
What are you trying to say?
I'm trying to say that it's nice to see that there's some good stuff in there. Let's try to be positive. And focus on the good.
I just don't want people thinking. I just don't want people thinking.
No one's going to think you went soft, that, believe me.
That I'm being affected.
No.
I just don't want anyone thinking that.
No. I mean, you did cry a little this week after Jesse hung up on you. I got a call. You were sobbing like a little schoolgirl. It was kind of nice. It was touching.
I was upset.
It was touching.
I was upset because he was upset that I called him names.
Well.
And, you know, obviously, Jesse and I don't agree on everything.
I was
obviously
upset.
I'm a very emotional man when it comes to my hobby. And when I hear things that make me upset about something, I've heard stuff about you that's made me upset, and I've called you names.
I was very upset when he tried to have us, particularly you, escorted out of Toy Fair by security 3 years back. So
it was 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, so anyway.
For verbally guffawing.
Yeah, at line.
I know exactly what it was. It was Lord of the Rings.
Oh, okay.
When they changed the card.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
They were putting the same figures that were sitting by the Gollum. Hundreds
yeah, right.
in every Toys R Us and KB in the country on clearance and still not selling. They were reissuing those figures
right.
on the thinner cards, which I just couldn't believe. I couldn't believe it. It was stunning.
Well, I think we're going to have to take a small break, regroup a little bit.
Regoop?
Yeah, well, the Blob Wave.
Build a goop?
Yeah, exactly. No, that's for the Herculoids Build a Figure Wave.
Hey, stop, man. The Herculoids figures by Toonami were
that wasn't
cool.
even goop, was it? It was Gleep and Glop, but I was there.
I think it was goop.
No, I think it was Gleep and Glop.
Was it?
I think so.
I don't remember.
Anyway, let's regroup, take a short break. We'll be right back.
Matt, you have to check out our latest sponsor, the upcoming comic book Shadow Flame from Arcana Studios.
Shadow Flame is written and drawn by Joe Martino and is a story of murder, suicide, genocide, and rebirth on a cosmic scale. It is a story of redemption and a man who has nothing to lose and becomes Earth's only hope.
So ask for Shadow Flame at your local comics retailer coming this February.
For more information, you can go to arcanastudio.com. That's ArcanaStudio.com.
Shadow Flame from Arcana Studios.
Hey, this is John Wesley Shipp. The Flash, and you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Geek Stuff, episode 42.
Life, the universe, and everything.
I still don't think we're doing a really good job of living up to the title.
No, I think you are. This is probably one of the best. You had life in the beginning, right?
Yeah.
You watched shows, and we talked about shows, and then right. Universe, Galactus,
sure.
The World Devourer.
Sure.
And then everything else after that, right?
Actually, you know what? This show has really been kind of... It's been a little less focused, I think, than we've done in the past. We're kind of all over the place with some of our topics. So that encompasses life, the universe, and everything.
Exactly.
I think we're there.
Focus. I think the two of you are just placating each other.
Why don't we talk about the figures we have in front of us here tonight, Kev?
I'm very excited, as always, to see new DC Direct product. And there's no shortage of it. And you know what?
Ever.
And you know what? Good.
And you know what? With DC Direct now picking up licenses like World of Warcraft, they potentially could never run out of product.
And you know what? I'd be fine with that too.
Oh, sure.
You know, we're getting some people that say that we tend to focus on certain things and ignore other things, or we like these things and we don't like other things. Well, yeah. Just like you, dear listener, you like things that you like. And you don't like things that you don't like. However, we give everything a broad spectrum here, and we've said as much bad stuff about some things in DC Direct as we've said about bad stuff in Sideshow lines, as we've said about good stuff in Marvel Legends lines.
Wow.
And, you know, I just don't want to be, I don't want to be pigeonholed or categorized.
Not at all.
So when I see that DC Direct is putting out a JSA figure line, Justice Society of America, mm-hmm. I am going to pick that line up. I'm going to examine it. I'm going to see what I like about it and what I don't like about it. And when I do my show, I'm going to say what I like about it and what I don't like about it.
I'd like to say bravo for no Batman or Superman finally in a line.
And you know what? Because it's inappropriate here.
It is, but that's what I mean. Congratulations to them for that.
This is JSA Series 1. Batman and Superman are not part of the current lineup of the Justice Society, and so therefore they should not be represented in here.
Right. Although some people would probably say they did that Green Lantern line with no Batman or Superman figure. But
well, Green Lantern was in it.
Exactly.
Guy Gardner was in it.
Exactly. Well,
Guy Gardner, yeah. One of the greatest panels ever in comic books, and Batman lays him out with one punch. That was JLA number one, like circa 86.
Look, any superhero with a cereal bowl haircut deserves to be laid out in one punch by Batman.
That's true. That was a great... If you have the opportunity to pick that up, that old Justice League series, Justice League of America, whichever one it was, maybe it's just Justice League.
I remember.
Fantastic stuff. I wish I could remember who wrote it at the moment because that's brilliant stuff. But let's get back to JSA.
Let's.
I'm going to start off by saying something I don't like.
All right, go for it.
Because everyone's going to say, oh, you fly right in. Da, 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 da. I'm going to say that the packaging did not bowl me over.
Okay, well, the packaging is definitely back to very traditional figure packaging. We're talking about simple cardboard backing, blister pack on the front, figure inside. Limited accessories, so there's not a whole lot going on there.
There's no a figure inside?
There is. No diorama bases. No bases.
No, they have a base.
Oh, they do have a base. My apology. That's okay. I didn't notice it at first.
Well, who do you have there?
I have Hawkgirl and Dr.
Midnight.
Hawkgirl,
yeah, and the Hawkgirl, it's difficult because of the wings to see the base, which is right. Probably why you didn't see the base there. But yeah, they come with a base. Something I do like about DC Direct, what they have been doing, and for a while, and I don't think we've mentioned this before, is they are doing bases that the peg is not set.
Correct.
So they're actually giving you a base with holes in it, and they provide you with a peg that you can place in the hole so that if the character has difficulty standing and you decide to use the base, me personally, I don't like to use the base, but if you like using bases, this gives you many more opportunities and ways to style how your character is displayed.
No matter how many pegs are in the base of the Hush Poison Ivy figure, there is no way you can get that figure to stand.
I got mine.
It's physically impossible without hot glue or Funtech.
You have just given up too early.
She keeps on jumping off the shelf and attacking my guests in the guest room. It's awful.
Well, I've known the caliber of the guests in the guest room, and I would attack them too if I was a toy.
Anyway.
Back to the packaging really quick. It's difficult to look at packaging like this, and it is what it is, but it's difficult to see packaging like this come from DC Direct when DC Direct has done beautiful box-type packaging for some of their other lines, the Hush line you just mentioned being one of them. And it's difficult to see them go back to, not go back, but to choose that type of packaging for these characters. Now, that being said, this is obviously not, this is not a mainstream sort of line, let's say. It's not a mainstream sort of book. However, I do think that the packaging is just a tad simple. If they had done something with the, you know, the JSA has a logo. You see the logo on the top of the packaging. It has that sort of eagle kind of thing. Had they made the base that logo like they had done with, I want to say Crisis, they did that with, where they, remember I said one of the things that we did point out at the time was that they had used the base as the logo on the package rather than having a logo.
Well, the Hush figures had the bat symbol as the base.
Right, but what I mean
and
is...
it was the logo in the packaging, yeah.
Was it?
It might have been.
No, they were boxed.
Oh, yeah.
They were boxed. But one of the, but you're right. One of the lines, or a couple of the lines now, have used the actual base as the logo on the top of the packaging, which was fantastic. I think that would have worked here also. They've kind of gone with an oval base with a simple logo printed on the base, which is fine. It is what it is. I just think that they kind of, they maybe have cut one or two corners a little too close here. You can see, you can sort of make out the JSA and the purple sections of the packaging here. Mm-hmm. I just think it's very kind of
generic,
very simple, where I would have expected it being the first series of JSA figures, they might have come out with a bit more of a bang.
Well,
let's get on to the characters. Why don't you go first?
I've got, Dr. Midnight and Hawk Girl.
Okay.
Both of which I'd like to say are really impressive, actually. I'm not a big fan of Hawk Girl, but I really like this figure. So much to the point that I'd actually consider purchasing her. Articulation-wise, she's got pretty basic articulation. She's got knee, wrist, elbow joints, shoulders, and neck. And then she's got the cuts in her upper leg by her thigh there.
Right.
The wings are not actually on her in the packaging. They do attach after you open her up to the back. So you can kind of get that pulled back wing look that she often has going on. The paint job is really solid. I really do. I really think it's an awesome looking figure.
I want to say also here that we need to point out that we particularly are not well versed in these particular characters. Now I have I'm almost embarrassed to say JSA is one of those books that I've been buying since the beginning.
Right.
In the hopes that I will someday have time to sit down and read them. So I have all of the issues and I am sort of familiar with what's going on, but I would be lying if I was to say that I was overly familiar with these characters. And my understanding about this Hawk Girl is that she is some sort of incarnation or reincarnation of Hawk Girl, who is the true love of Hawkman. I'm getting that information from the back of the package.
Right.
Unfortunately, this time she has no recollection of her past lives. So I guess that means she's separate from Hawk Girl. Now, does that mean that she is different from, is there another Hawk Girl floating around the DC universe
right
now?
Well, I'm guessing if she's been reincarnated several times, in order to be reincarnated, you kind of have to die and come back.
Right.
So if this is the same Hawk Girl reincarnated several times like she does, I'm guessing this is it.
You think this is the only one running around right now?
I'm guessing, yeah.
I don't know. I find that confusing.
Okay.
That a little confusing. That's a little too infinite crisis kind of confusing, because I'm not exactly sure there what the situation is with that character. But without getting in depth about every character, I mean, a few of these we're going to discuss, but without getting in depth, it's still a great figure.
Sure.
It's still a great figure. That costume is one that I prefer over some of the other ones. And I think it's well executed. And why not? Why not? If you like Hawk Girl, if you like, you know, there aren't a lot of powerful girl figures out there, characters out there.
Yeah.
So every time you get a really good Hawk Girl or a Power Girl or, one of these type of women characters, you want to make sure that you're doing her right.
Sure.
Girl figures, as we know, get the shaft left and right. And to see one well executed is good.
Yes, kudos.
I'm going to talk about Mr. Terrific.
Okay.
Mr. Terrific, one of the members here, is probably my least favorite character in the series. And that is simply from a design perspective. He has a giant T perhaps painted on his face.
Right.
He's got a kind of a black and white sort of biker leather looking suit. And my understanding, again, from the back of the package is that he is an athlete who is really doesn't have any superpowers, but is using his wealth and technical genius to become the living embodiment of fair play.
Yeah, to the youth on the streets or something along those lines, right? Yeah, you know what? Mr. Terrific sounds like an after-school special.
Yeah, I think if they were doing the movie, minus the T on his face, at least the way it's covering his face in the figure and in the book here, is this would be a kind of a Rock or Dwayne Johnson, as he likes to be known as now, kind of character to play.
Yeah, I mean, it reminds me of when they used to do those the X-Men go to the state fair.
Right.
Issues. That's that kind of character.
I remember that. X-Men go to the state fair of Texas.
Yeah, the Texas State Fair.
That's awesome.
I think I have that somewhere,
too, in my collection. getting back to Mr. Terrific, he does come with an interesting accessory, though. It's a ball. Well, it's not a ball. It looks like a ring with four balls on it that have T's on it. And I think what that is supposed to represent is you actually peg the ball. You peg this clear. The ring is clear. You peg that into his hand. And I think what he's doing is
juggling?
Kind of, well, not juggling, I would say, but like tossing, is it maybe one ball that he just kind of tosses around? This may be something that he does in the book that I'm unfamiliar with, but it's definitely an interesting accessory there. I'm going to move on to a more classic character.
Okay.
Our Man.
Yes, that's a nice looking piece.
It is, and I'm a fan of the character. The character has been around for quite a long time. Mm-hmm. The original JSA, Justice Society, was in the 40s, and Our Man was one of the members then. So it's interesting to see how he has come along. The second Our Man was actually, and I know this, I'm not getting this from the back of the package, who actually was an android from the future who gave this young feller, Rick Tyler, who's the current Our Man, the Miraculo drug, which gives him his superhuman strength, stamina, and speed. But the reason he's called Our Man is because he wears an hourglass that gives him the ability to see 1 hour into the future. Again, the original Our Man, kind of like this.
Right.
The costume a little different, did have the hourglass and so on and so forth. I'm going to have to say, though, as far as a figure goes, it looks really great. I mean, to me, it's, again, it's kind of a very generic and basic kind of design, and that kind of throws me off because the Android Our Man was fantastic, beautiful design.
Right.
So what it seems to me is with the JSA is they've gone very retro in the styling. You're either very retro in design or you're way modern, like Mr. Terrific with his motorcycle leathers on.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know. Let me get to Dr. Midnight here.
Okay.
First of all, this is a great, great... I think this is the best-looking figure in this wave, this Dr. Midnight.
I agree.
The owl accessory is awesome. Magnetic. So it actually will stick to the wristband on his right hand. Yeah. Which I think is pretty cool. It's a neat little accessory.
The use of magnets becoming more and more predominant for things like that. Who started that with the hats? Was that Muppets?
It was Muppets, and it was the Palisades line that
right.
really kind of kicked that going forward strong.
Right.
At least that's who I attribute it to. But the figure is awesome. The sculpt is great. Dr. Midnight is kind of a quirky, interesting character. Much like Kevin, I am not terribly versed in the JSA, but I have always been a fan of Dr. Midnight.
Oh, me too. That miniseries was fantastic.
Exactly. And definitely, if you only pick up one figure from this wave, Dr. Midnight would be the one that I would have to point you to.
And I would say Hawkgirl as okay. number two. And let's round it out by the most interesting in the bunch,
I think.
That
I know absolutely nothing about.
It's so, and you know what? We tried to figure it out.
And we couldn't.
We were stumped. We don't understand. Golden Age Adam 2-pack.
Right.
Okay. So we have this young feller. It's a 2-pack of figures. They're both shorter than the other figures.
Right.
Now, my understanding is that this character, the Adam, was kind of a nothing sort of guy, and he got trained to fight in the 30s and 40s
yeah.
and had no real superpowers whatsoever.
Right. Zero.
Right. Until he was forced to battle some feller named Cyclotron.
Right.
Who had been altered using radiation by some other feller, the Ultra Humanite or something like that. And this guy, Cyclotron, who didn't want to be a supervillain, was kind of forced into the life, so to speak, had a battle with the original Adam.
Okay.
And was killed in that was killed, not in the battle, but was killed killing the guy who gave him the powers.
Right.
But because the original Adam had fought this Cyclotron fella, he was exposed to this radiation, and this radiation gave him powers. He gained atomic strength and agility.
Okay.
All right.
It's a coming of age story, really.
Al Pratt later modeled his costume after that of Cyclotron, which I think accounts for the second figure here.
Right. They give you both.
Right. So you get the original costume, you get the new costume. Here's my question.
Okay.
Are they supposed to be this small?
That I don't know. I don't know if that's a thing. I don't know what Cyclotron's powers were.
We looked online. And we looked to see if there was any indication. We Googled, we Wikipedia'd, if there was any indication as to the fact that he was significantly shorter than the rest of the people in the group. I could find nothing.
All right. I don't know either. So we have to throw it out there maybe to the fans.
So we're going to throw it out to the listeners. We're looking at the Golden Age Adam. You can go to DCComics.com, the DC Direct section, and into the Justice Society of America Action Figure Series Wave 1, and you can check out Golden Age Adam 2-pack. And you tell us, I mean, to me it looks like this is a teen sidekick.
Right.
I'm putting him up against Mr. Terrific right now, and literally he comes up to Mr. Terrific's nipples. I presume his nipples to
well,
be.
Well, I hope that... I hope that size is scale, that he is supposed to be a... because otherwise...
I cannot imagine.
It would almost be an atrocity.
I can't imagine that DC... I have to believe that the Adam is exactly the size that he's supposed to be.
Okay.
I have to believe that. I can't imagine why DC Direct would put out figures that were not in scale with the rest of them.
Well, let's throw it out there and see what they have to say.
All right, let's do that. Overall... The line is very good.
Mm-hmm.
The figures are well sculpted. They're definitely on par with the minimum standards that DC Direct applies to its stuff, so that's fine. There are two standout figures. I think you and I both agree on this. The two standout figures in the line are Hawkgirl and Dr. Midnight.
Correct.
And they're definitely two figures that you should pick up for your collection, your DC Direct collection. As far as the other figures go, they're good. It really comes down more to a personal choice in design and in characterization. If you know more about these characters and you think Mr. Terrific is, well, terrific, then you might want to pick up Mr. Terrific there. As well as the mystery of the Adam 2-pack and Hour Man, who is actually the third Hour Man. For me personally, I prefer the second Hour Man. Again, but I don't know story-wise what happened to him. And this one seems kind of, as a design, it just seems to me to be rather a bland sort of design.
I'm looking at the sculpt on that Hour Man figure, and I'm saying, you know, it looks really familiar. Like, I'm looking at the chin, right, and the shape of the nose and the shape of the head, and I don't know where this is being pulled from, but it looks like the Ash, as drawn by J. Scott Campbell, on the cover of that Army of Darkness number one variant cover.
He does have that very distinctive chin.
Maybe that's what it is that's doing it for me.
And again, there's absolutely nothing wrong with the sculpting here.
Oh, not
the
at
sculpting
all. I'm just
is,
saying, I was,
you know, it is exactly you know what we have come to refer to in DC Direct as sort of the generic sculpting. They're not following a particular artist style here, so it tends to be a generic DC thing, which is fine because the sculpting is really good on all these figures. It's just a question of you know, familiarity with the characters. I don't necessarily agree with some of the design concepts, but that extends past the figures back into, you know, the design for the books. So that being said, I'm gonna go ahead and speak for Matt, who's obviously mute and cannot speak for himself. No.
Apparently.
I'm going to say that Hawkgirl and Dr. Midnight is who you should pick up here. Mm-hmm. Check out the rest. If you like them, pick them up too.
Yep.
There's going to be way more DC Direct for you to pick from.
I'm sure.
And you're going to hear about it first here. Matt, they're going to do it again. New York Comic Con is returning this February.
That's right. February 23rd, 24th, and 25th at the Jacob Javits Convention Center. Right in the heart of Manhattan.
Did you see the guest list on this thing? Stan the Man Lee.
Excelsior.
Ugh. J. Michael Straczynski. And the one and only Kevin Smith.
Ooh.
And the three and only us.
All right.
The Big Kev's Geek Stuff staff, myself, Matt, and Mr. Fantastic will
be in attendance.
At his
first con appearance
That's
ever.
That's true, his first con appearance ever.
In addition, this year, the New York Comic Con is hosting the 2007 Anime Awards.
In addition to that, Matt, there'll be tons of gaming, comics, toys, displays, special functions, exclusives. I'm sure they're going to have the entire gamut of the convention scene at this amazing convention.
You can go to www.nyccomiccon.com for more information. That's New York Comic Con.com.
Hello, nurse. This is Yakko
and Wacko from Animaniacs, and you're listening to
Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Keep him tuned in.
Yeah, because if you don't, he'll kill you.
Yeah, he is really big, folks. We're looking at him. It's scary.
We're Animaniacs, totally insane, Pinky and the Brainy. Animaniacs, those are the facts.
And we are back with Geek Stuff, episode 42, Life, the Universe,
and DC Direct.
And DC Direct, yes, exactly. So let's get into a little bit of the everything that we talked about tonight.
Oh, nice seg. You're really backing him on this, aren't you?
Hey, I'm good.
I just think it's an utter failure as a title.
I think you're an utter failure as a human. But we still have to do this show, so there you go.
Wow.
the draft of the script for the first episode of The Preacher is done. Again, not a whole lot of information as to who's going to be playing what, but we will follow that. It is going to be on HBO.
That'll be exciting news when it happens.
Yes. Galactus, as a force, perhaps, and not so much as a character. What does that mean? We don't know. We'll have to see what happens as the film develops. Although, you know, we're not too far off at this point. So
I think our speculation is a fair one.
Sure.
That, but what they mean by that is they're not going to explore his background and history and motivation so much as he's here to eat the planet.
Right. Exactly.
And we have to stop him. You know, like a tidal wave is a force of nature.
Exactly. Gwyneth Paltrow cast as the role of Pepper Potts in the upcoming Iron Man film.
Right, the executive assistant of Tony Stark.
Exactly.
And
who?
And we don't understand why Gwyneth Paltrow has taken this role.
Yeah. Again, I think it's probably because these movies have become so prominent and maybe she's trying to look for a way to latch on, but who knows?
Hey, she did Sky Captain in the World of Tomorrow.
She did do Sky Captain in the World of Tomorrow.
A film only I enjoyed.
I liked it too. I actually really liked it. Yeah, I do. A lot, actually. And we also saw another concept drawing of the armor, very similar to what you're seeing in Civil War right now.
I spoke about this week's Halloween remake Rob Zombie news,
yep,
where we have learned that the fans are flipping out over the facts that are leaking out about this movie.
Ew.
It's pushing the character played by Malcolm McDowell in this film, Dr. Loomis, which was played by Donald Pleasance in the originals, kind of pushing him towards the back in preference for more gore and less psychological mumbo jumbo.
Right.
And as well as more nudity.
Ooh.
More naked, well, and apparently more
with horror cans.
That's true. And it's more naked children stars of nice. Of the past, of nice. The early 90s, including Hannah R. Hall, who was the first Jenny in Forrest Gump, the little one on the bus,
right,
which is disturbing, as well as Danielle Harris playing Annie, one of Laurie Strode's girlfriends, who also particularly naked in the film. What Fantastic hipped me to over the break was that Danielle Harris, it's not listed on IMDb that she's in the film.
Yeah, but, you know, who knows, though.
But that's a little, little makes you wonder kind of thing. Maybe it'll show up in the next week. Anyway, we're going to look forward to more Rob Zombie Halloween remake news, hopefully in the coming weeks.
Hopefully not. We also talked about a little bit of some toy news. 24 figures also being grabbed up by McFarlane. We learned last week that Diamond Select had scooped up the license for 12-inch and Mini Nate figures, but McFarlane is going to be doing a series of figures very similar to their Lost line. So that's pretty exciting, I think, for 24 fans.
It's so weird for us to be in a time where the companies are divvying up based on size. You know, it used to be in the old days, Hasbro got the Star Wars license.
Right.
Hasbro did everything in the license.
Well, I guess when you have companies now that are doing better jobs at certain scales, then it only makes sense that certain scales go to certain companies.
I guess. It's just an odd thing.
McFarlane has almost given up that larger scale figure at this point.
Right.
Sporadically, they come out. I mean, NECA has really moved to the forefront, I would say, with those figures for the most part.
Right.
And I don't know, has Diamond done 12-inch figures before?
I don't know.
I don't think, not that I can recall. So we'll have to see what that means. But either way, it's good to see that there's some 24 product out there.
And that a variety of companies are going to be, you know, divvying up sizes.
Sure.
At least we'll get a variety of interpretations, which can't hurt anything.
Sure.
We also talked about DC Direct picking up, apparently, some sort of World of Warcraft action figure license.
Yeah, and they look amazing. Wow, they look good.
You can check out the World of Warcraft figures from DC Direct in the incoming section of this month's Toy Fair magazine, issue 115, March 2007. And again, you can also check out some of the other things we talked about. Andy Kubert's Batman line from DC Direct. We also talked about the Harry Potter figures that are coming from NECA, some first looks in here for some of that stuff that's coming up. as well as the Marvel Legends figures that hopefully we will get to see. They're saying we may never see the Thugs and the X-Babies and Wild Child and, of course, the Frog of Thunder. I'm devastated.
I'd like to point out that the Frog of Thunder, the Wild Child, and the Hydra Soldiers are my three favorite after looking through that article.
The Frog of Thunder is so amazing, I don't understand why it's not being stuck in with that new
either.
Tool.
I don't know.
I would rather have that that Frog of Thunder stuck in there than the big giant axe that I've never seen Thor use an axe.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe I'm wrong, and someone's going to call in or write in and say, Thor has an axe. I've never seen him with an axe.
I don't get it, though. If he already has the hammer Mjolnir, why the hell does he need an axe?
What was the hammer what?
Isn't it called Mjolnir?
Something along those lines.
Yeah.
I thought it was called Bob.
No, the axe is called Bob.
And maybe the axe is called Bob. Exactly.
Alternate universe.
I know, exactly.
Mjolnir's like retarded cousin.
He's the god of thunder. He has the hammer, but for some reason he needs a big axe. I don't get it, but that may be specific to a storyline that he, where he's actually in the armor, the Thor armor in Marvel Legends Wave 2, which is Thor becoming the new Iron Man or Hulk? Or Wolverine that has to accompany every wave.
Perhaps.
And there's a Wolverine in that line, too, I'd like to point out. That being said, again, you can check out those all in this month's issue of Toy Fair. Don't be stunned that I'm sending you to Toy Fair magazine. It's you know, it's kind of getting better here. It's a little better. There's still some fluff, but that's all I'm saying.
We briefly talked about Concept 2 Creation doing a 6-statue Danger Mouse line that I think is really awesome and I hope makes it, but I'm not holding my breath waiting for it.
We've seen far too much in our years that has made it this far and just died. Those Transformer G.I. Joe pieces from first four figures that we saw last year, arguably two of the best pieces I've ever seen of any licensed product ever, and they just disappeared.
Just disappeared. So who knows? We talked about the Sideshow Spider-Man pieces, the 3 12-inch figures, Spider-Man Black costume, and Venom all from the upcoming film, and what that costume on Venom means for the film and how it translates, so we'll see. And lastly, in the news segment of the show, we talked about those awesome videos and the concept art for that Ghostbusters game that Zootfly is apparently working on without a license. But we're hoping that perhaps there's enough push from the fans to get the game created.
Maybe.
Potentially as a sequel to the storyline or to continue the storyline.
Finally, tonight we talked about, we did a little product review on a DC Direct's latest line, the JSA Series 1 figures here, including characters Hourman, Golden Age Adam 2-pack, getting the original costume and his revised costume, Dr. Midnight, Mr. Terrific, and Hawkgirl. Overall, we like the line. It's one of DC Direct's generic lines. It doesn't follow a particular artist or storyline per se. Matt and I have both agreed that Dr. Midnight and Hawkgirl are the standouts in this line.
Mm-hmm.
And that the other ones, if you're interested in characters, if you're interested in these characters, you're definitely going to like these figures.
Sure.
Some of the design elements, not really to our taste, but that doesn't really speak about the figures. They are well sculpted. Packaging is a little bland, but the nice base, able to be customized by you, is also a
very important and nice,
and a very good idea. Mm-hmm. And that's it. That's everything.
That's it. It's the life, the universe, and everything.
I still don't think it happened. Fantastic. I don't know. I think we should maybe edit out all of the references to the title, and
I think it's better than Hermes Unlucky Onslaught, now, or whatever the hell that episode was called.
We totally justified that title.
I think that we've justified our title tonight very well.
I don't know. And what's all right? You want to throw this one at him?
Sure.
Hey, Fantastic. What are you thinking about episode 43? What sort of thing can you come up with for episode 43?
Wow, he actually took off his headphones and walked out of the studio. That's a first.
I don't get it. What does that mean?
That's what it means. There is no episode 43.
Give him a second. him enough rope to hang himself with.
He's got nothing.
Let's just say something. Anything.
There is no episode 43. That's what this means.
Just say anything. It's all right.
All right. So that's going to wrap up episode 42.
No. We're going to wait until he says something. Come on. Get over there. Say something.
And on that note, we cue the music.
He's the greatest. He's fantastic.